You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the second hour of tonight's live broadcast for Saturday, January the 21st. We have now back with us our criminal justice correspondent, the retired police officer, Jim Lancia. He's back to, I guess in the grand scheme of things, talk about the reality of policing in diverse America. Of course, you know Jim, many appearances over the year on this program. He authored the book, Downtown White Police, which details his career on the force in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Jim, welcome back to the show. How are you tonight?
I'm good, James. Thanks for having me.
Well, you're very welcome, and it's always great to have you. And as I said, you're really more than a correspondent and a piece of the TPC family than a guest, but however people will receive you, we are happy to have you. And before we get to the reason, the specific reason we brought you on tonight, we get letters, emails, cards every week, every month from people who are tuning into the show for the first time. So for the benefit of anybody who might not be as familiar with your past as some of the older listeners, give everybody a 2 or 3 minute synopsis of who Jim Lancia is and what experience he has on the police force in diverse America.
All right. Well, I came on the police force at a very young age, at 18 years old, and I worked in a very high crime inner city with, like you said, a very diverse population. And this the climate you see with the policing today is really nothing new to me and the guys I worked with, because this has been going on for a long time. It's just starting to make really mainstream news. It's I worked in some of the highest crime housing projects in the United States at the time. The city was rated the highest crime in the country, even higher than New York, even when New York was really exploding. So I worked in all the divisions, all the elite units, and I got to see the world for the way it really was. And being a white police officer in a diverse city is not a picnic. It's not about the crime. It's not about how you know, even the danger. I mean, we all handled that. That's what we signed up for. It was the inner enemy, the flack that you get from doing your job, and you know, just the government crashing down on you. Like I was talking about it in my book, about how the federal government puts white police officers in black neighborhoods because black cops didn't want to work in the high crime neighborhoods. They thought it was racist to put them there. So we got all the flack by being white cops in black neighborhoods. I mean, we'll go into it a little bit more when we're talking.
Well, that's a good enough intro. I don't know, Keith wants to say hello and ask you a quick question, and then in the next segment we'll get to the specifics of why you're on tonight. But you did write the book, which we have sent out as a TPC fundraising incentive. I think it was a few years ago now. But at Amazon.com, you can buy Jim Lancia's book, Downtown White Police, Demonizing the Alpha Cop, Glorifying Thugs, and Militarizing Law Enforcement. Spent a lot of time at the height of the crack epidemic on the force there in Bridgeport, Connecticut, serving warrants and kicking in doors with a six shooter. I mean, this was old school policing, not the politicized stuff you see today. This was sure enough beat cop alpha guy going in and getting the job done. Keith?
Yeah, Jim, what years were you actually boots on the ground doing your policing?
Well, I started in 1978, and then I retired with my pension 20 years after. So, but this was the old days, I guess.
Well, I'm a lawyer, and I think that I track most of the big problems that we have with the so-called police brutality and all this type of these charges. With a case that came out of Memphis called Garner versus Tennessee back in 1986, a Supreme Court case. Do you remember that?
No, I don't. There's so many of those
Well, it was where they did away with the fleeing felon rule. You know, when we watched old police movies when I was growing up.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had the fleeing felon rule still. They weren't using it, and we never used it. But, yeah, it was still active when I was there.
Well, see, it's like today, the only people you can arrest if they're black is somebody that wants to get arrested, and those people are few and far between, I imagine.
Well, let me ask you this, Jim. Give me a couple of minutes on this, because I think it's an interesting question that will preface what we brought you on to talk about for the remainder of the hour. How has policing changed since your time on the beat in the 70s and 80s and presumably the 90s as well, compared to what it has become today?
Okay, well, crime hasn't really changed. I mean, crime was bad back then. It reached all-time highs, actually, 70s, 80s, and in the mid-90s. So it's not the crime, it's how they allow police officers to handle the crime. It's the type of police officer they hire. The affirmative action hires, the low IQ, the female, too many females. I mean, out of shape. There's no standards whatsoever. They're even hiring in some of the cities you can be 60 years old as a rookie. So this is just, it's ridiculous. And, you know, it's honestly, I mean, the police officer is supposed to represent the law. He's supposed to try to get the best of the best. But it's how the reaction now is with the social media and with even how the media handles it. It's like everything a cop does to make an arrest is always got to be some form of racism or brutality. And the truth being is that criminals don't like being arrested. They're violent to begin with. And sometimes you have to use force to make an arrest.
What I've found, Jim, is this. I, as a lawyer, you know, when you had Blue Crush, I don't know if that's something is a generic term they use in all of policing or just what they use here, but it's where they have the computerized access and they get your license plate or they get your, ID and they know all about your record. When you stop a typical black guy, it's not like stopping a typical white guy that just gets a ticket and he either contests it or he, complies and pays it. A lot of these guys have bench warrants, parole violations, all this stuff. They're liable to be in jail for 5 years or more with any police stop, and that's why they resist arrest. Am I wrong about that, or how do you feel about that?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's just the way it is. And you cannot use racial percentages like, oh, a lot of people say, well, cops arrest blacks more than whites. Well, blacks engage police more. They commit most of the crime.
They commit more than 50%.
More than 50% of the murders in the United States are committed by black males from like 16 to 35. So
and that's like 7 to 8% of the population.
Exactly, maybe less than that, right? And so there is a problem there, and it's not race. It's not racist police. It's blacks just not behaving. Blacks committing most of the crime, and that needs to be addressed more than, race. It's racist. I mean, look at what Obama did. I mean, he snuck in that equity thing. I don't know what he did. He snuck that in where if too many blacks are in prison, they release them. And that's what we're seeing now. And there's other reasons.
Yeah, we're seeing it. That's for sure. Hey, hold on, everybody. Jim Lancia, he's back. Downtown White Police. Get it at Amazon.com. They should make a movie about your career, Jim. Based off the book. Really, they should.
It would put Dirty Harry in the trash can.
It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com, AmericaFirst.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
All right, and welcome back, everybody. We're back with Jim Lancia. As we were saying right before the break, they got to make a movie based on his book, Downtown White Police, which details his career in Bridgeport, Connecticut. It would put the Dirty Harry script. It's like Dirty Harry, except it really happened.
It may make Dirty Harry look like Abbott and Costello.
My dad was a police officer for a short time. Then he joined the fire department, then ended up retiring as a captain with the fire department. But he has Jim's book, and he got Jim's book a few years ago, and it is a perennial coffee table book. It never gets put up. I was at
dog ear. You can tell it's been read.
My parents' house the other day, and the book was still out. It just never gets put up. It's a great book. Anyway, so we wanted to make sure you know Jim's got experience doing the beat cop policing, and boy does he ever.
Not just another police expert, supposedly. This is the real deal.
And it wasn't in Maywood either. It was in, you know, Maywood here in Memphis. No, Mayberry, correct. It was in the rough and tumble streets. All right, so here's the situation in Memphis that we brought Jim on to be our analyst about. So got a call from friend of mine who's retired law enforcement in this area, and he told me not to leave the house the next few days. Things are looking pretty bad. There's some chatter that there could be some riots. And then another guy I know that's an IT guy, his whole office was told to stay at home because there was a potential for racial unrest in Memphis here. Now, what happened was there was a 29-year-old black man by the name of Tyree Nichols, and he was beaten by five police officers in Memphis and then died from his injuries 3 days later. So everything, I mean, you could feel it on social media. My wife came to me multiple days in a row saying, I'm reading this, I'm hearing this. There was a palpable edge in the city here that was building up. And there were already, just yesterday here in town, a bunch of black protesters in downtown Memphis carrying the I am a man sign. They're recycling that old canard. And in any event, it was all leading up to, you could tell they wanted to spin the narrative. The media was playing into this. You could hear the narrative. The story wrote itself. 60 years after Dr. King, nothing has changed in Memphis except for one thing.
A lot has changed.
Exactly. That's for sure. Except for one thing. I know, and I was talking to Jim about this earlier today, that there was a mass exodus of white police officers from the Memphis Police Department in recent years with what? The Derek Chauvin and all of the other instances. It's not a good place to be a white cop in a town like this because, you know, if you have to use force and if things go south, you're going to go to jail for the rest of your life. And then also, there was some things in the news a few years ago. The city of Memphis wanted its police force to represent the community, meaning that basically if you're white, you don't need to apply.
And the black police union insists that they recruit only out of within the city limits of Memphis to keep those pernicious honkies from getting on the force.
So that's the thing. And then, so I started to think, and I said, okay, if there's five police officers involved, the likelihood of them being all white is zero. The likelihood of there being one or two whites, maybe. But then it came back, all of the officers engaged in this incident were black, and you could just feel the air being let out of the balloon. It was just such a missed opportunity for the anti-white powers that be to stir up another racial conflict And then the narrative immediately pivoted. These cops were the wrong complexion to get police protection. You see, everything they say has to rhyme. That's civil rights sort of 101.
They quite frankly don't know whether they want to support the officers now or not.
But in any event, here's the situation. We don't know if the young man, well, he's 30 years old, 29, who died, had a record. We don't know any of that. What we do know is this. He was pulled over for a traffic stop. There was a confrontation, and he fled. He got caught, and then there was another confrontation, and he got beaten, and then 3 days later died. That's what we know. Jim, with that table now being set, we've talked far too long. I told you that story earlier today, and boy, did you let go. What was your take on it?
Well, I guess first I'll address whatever the cops did. I'm not gonna say it was good or bad until the body cam footage is released. But let's say it is bad, okay? Let's just speculate. You have five black cops who killed a black male suspect. Okay, now where does the racial element come in? So that's what I would like to say. I mean, there are bad cops out there, especially more and more. I mean, with the people they're hiring, they're getting desperate. I mean, all we want is gender and color to replace the white male. So they don't care who they put on there as long as they're not white. So the other thing is either we put up with an imperfect police force in an imperfect world, or we're going to get chaos. So I saw a Black Lives Matter preacher say something like, yeah, he said all the cops were black. He goes, but they're still under the rule of white supremacy somehow. He said that. He said that even blacks could fall into the white supremacy thing. They got to stop this. And white people need to demand it stop. Because I'm going to tell you something, just like you said, there's a palpable feel of trouble coming. And it will come eventually. It might not come from this, but it's going to come, and it has come, and it's going to continue to come. Because this is going to happen again and again. Even if the cops do everything right, you will still have this climate of hatred and blaming everything on Whitey. And until Whitey stands up for himself, it's going to get worse, because whites are becoming the perfect victim. And the people don't understand this. I mean, you got to be armed with the truth. Police officers, black and white, kill more white men than they kill black men in the United States every year. And blacks commit more crimes, and they engage police more. So it seems like it's easier to get away with killing white men than it is with a black suspect. So
there's one other dynamic in that, Jim. One other dynamic, which is that blacks are more likely to resist arrest violently because of the
fact that's what I meant. Yeah, I meant they engage police officers more, meaning they're willing to resist more and pull weapons on police.
See, I lived back in the days of segregation. I'm an old timer. I'm 72. And I remember when the neighborhoods were segregated in Memphis, and it was always a problem in the black community for blacks to be arrested by white officers. They didn't care for it, okay? Well, the Memphis police handled that very easily back in the days of segregation. They assigned black patrolmen to the black precincts. And the black policemen had a reputation for being tough as nails. I mean, they would beat the stuffing out of these guys, but apparently in the black community, it was less of an affront to them to have the stuffing beat out of them by a black policeman than just be arrested by a white.
But you're saying now, Jim, you were just mentioning this a moment ago, that that's just not the way it is anymore.
Anybody. They just don't want to enforce the law at all.
No, they don't want the law enforced at all. And I've been through that. See, we had all black projects, big ones. I mean, talking about 10,000 people in four city blocks, the sixth largest in the United States, rated number one in crime by the FBI. And there were always white cops working there, but there were blacks as well. For a while, they wanted to put black cops policing. So then the black cops complained that they were unjustly put in high crime neighborhoods simply because they were black. So the federal government made a remedy order to take them out of there if they didn't want to work there, and put all white cops in there. And then they claimed it was racism because all white cops were in there, but you got to thank the federal government for that. And what are you supposed to do? I mean, if all the crime is
damned
black,
if you do, damned if you don't.
Exactly. And that's what they're getting to. This is not organic. If it was organic, this country would be absolutely insane, and it already is. But there is a reason for this, and they want it's to create, just like everything else with climate change and the economy. It's a self-destructive course that they're taking to create this system that they want in the future, and everybody has to see that. So this isn't just a crime-to-crime basis. Hey, how can we fix this? It could be fixed very easily, but it's not going to be fixed this way. So the reason why you have Antifa and Black Lives Matter able to roam the streets and burn cities down is because they're just, the cops can't do anything about it now. If they do, they're going to put it all on film and look like it's going to be very ugly. Let me tell you something. Crime is ugly. People don't see the detritus of humanity that gets left there by criminals. They only see the cops making arrests, and they just can't fathom that a cop can't make an arrest without using force sometimes. It doesn't work that way in the real world. And they should be very happy that men are willing to take down violent criminals. Now, I'm not saying this particular case where the guy was violent. I didn't see it. I can't condone everything cops do. We'll let the court system work that out. But we shouldn't be threatened with riots and race riots every time some black guy has a misfortunate contact.
You know what?
With cops.
That's what I want to come back with that on that very topic of conversation with Jim Lancia, retired police officer Jim Lancia, when we come back.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Dave Collins. A woman is facing first-degree murder charges after shooting and killing her terminally ill husband inside a Daytona Beach hospital. Police say the victim, Jerry Gillen, already knew of the plan.
From what I was told, he was aware of it. Apparently, the goal was for him to do it, but he did not have the strength. So she had to carry it out for him.
His wife, Ellen, shot him once in the head before barricading herself in the room. Police were eventually able to take her into custody. No one else was injured. Buckingham Palace revealing plans for King Charles III's coronation. The festivities began on May 6th with a coronation big lunch and coronation concert the next day, capped off by an extra bank holiday on Monday. The coronation will be a solemn religious service, according to the palace, but will reflect the monarch's role today and look towards the future. White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain is expected to step down.
Klain is expected to step down from his position in the coming weeks, although the White House is making no comment. According to a report in the New York Times, Klain's resignation would be the biggest staffing shakeup in the Biden administration since taking over the presidency 2 years ago. A formal announcement and the naming of Klain's replacement not expected until after President Biden's State of the Union address on February 7th, although the search for his replacement is already underway. I'm John Schaefer.
Illegal crossings at the U.S. southern border are hitting record levels. Customs and Border Protection said it stopped more than a quarter of a million migrants along the Mexican border in December. Reflects a 40% jump from December of 2021. It's the highest of any month since President Biden took office. Avengers star Jeremy Renner is giving a health update after a New Year's Day snowplow incident sent him to the hospital for more than 2 weeks. He took to Instagram to thank fans for their support, as well as revealing he broke 30-plus bones in the incident. This is USA News.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care, and here's why. Not only is it open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also a time you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. And it's true, the typical family switching to MediShare saves $500 or more a month, which is obviously huge for a lot of people, but what's more, they like it. MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to health insurance. Double. There are 400,000 members, they've shared over $4 billion in medical bills, and it really is a great community too. People encourage and pray for each other. And here's the thing, if you join MediShare Complete right now, they'll waive your new member fees and you'll save an additional 10% off all of 2023. That's right. No fee to join, 10% off every month of next year, but it's a very limited time offer. You have to sign up before January 15th. Great savings, great health care. Find out more. Call now. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
We're back with TPC's criminal justice correspondent, longtime friend and contributor to the show, Jim Lancia, author of the book Downtown White Police.
Our source for all true information on police.
We got stuff, a story like this. We got to call Jim and my dad. My dad never misses a show. He texted me. He said, let everybody know. Well, I'll just read it verbatim. Great show. Great guy. This guy is great. Tell him I recommend his book to everybody. So there you go. I just told everybody.
That's true, honest engine. That was what his father told him.
So in any event, so here's what we've got here. The entire city of Memphis, based upon social media, word on the street, was gearing up for racial unrest until all of the police officers involved turned out to be black. And they're still trying to find a racial angle here. They're still trying to ram that square peg in the round hole.
Took all the air out of their sails.
But here's some more facts about this case, and we'll get Jim's response. Now, of course, the media is painting this 29-year-old deceased black male as an angel, as a pillar of his community.
Steve Urkel.
And they say he enjoyed skateboarding and photography. Okay.
Sounds a little backward for a 30-year-old.
Who knows? I'm just saying we don't know. We don't know if he was all good and the cops were all bad, if the cops were all good and he was all bad. It's all speculation. All I do know is this. The media said the same thing about Trayvon Martin. They said the same thing about George Floyd. By God, they said the same thing about Michael Brown and Ferguson, who literally tried to take Darren Wilson's gun, Officer Wilson's gun, from him and kill him on the street. But he was a good boy. He didn't do nothing.
We call him didn't do nothing. D-I-N-D-U-F-I-N-N-I-N-S.
Anyway, so the media has lied so much about this, you got to do the opposite of giving people like this the benefit of the doubt. What we do know is that this now deceased 29-year-old black male did have a confrontation with the police and flee. Now, I get pulled over, Jim, once or twice a year for speeding. In fact, one time I got pulled over twice in the same day. I've gotten pulled over by police many, many times in my life, and never once have I thought about getting out of the car and running or taking off. So why does somebody do that? Does he have a record? We don't know. Was he under the influence? We don't know. Sometimes in situations like this, you've got low IQ and poor impulse control. Did he disrespect the cops? Well, did he disrespect people whose in their nature is to respond to that violently just because they have a badge? You know, maybe all bets are off. We do know that these police officers, Jim, have been on the force, the five of them, all on the force between the last 2 and 5 years. None of them more than a five-year veteran.
Not seasoned veteran.
So that coincides with the exodus of white cops in Memphis and the push by the city of Memphis to bring in majority black law enforcement. So again, what in
they
your
relax the
opinion
standards for those new hires
is going on here? You look at all of this, you put it all together. We don't know who's good, who's bad. The body cam footage, by the way, is supposed to be released on Monday. But again, you got a gut feeling on this, Jim?
Well, first of all, I was going to say, I can't believe you got pulled over so many times. You didn't use your white privilege on that one. I don't understand that. You're white.
Tickets.
You're not supposed to be pulled over, according to SPLC, ADL, and NAACP. But I guess I don't know. Maybe things are changing. Okay, so exactly, we don't know exactly what happened here, but the trend is this: it is a black male gets roughed up. You know, I mean, this in this case he died. I don't know how that even happened, but there might have been excessive force there. Maybe black cops believe that they can get away with more simply because they know the political climate, right? And that's dangerous in itself. But I still am for the policy of waiting for the evidence to come out to make a real decision. But it seems like even if the guy resisted, five cops would have been able to subdue him without beating him to death. Okay, so it could be dangerous.
Hey, Jim, let me ask you this,
know.
Jim, the victim, was 6'4", 140 pounds. Do you think you could have taken him without four other guys, or what do you think?
Absolutely right, you could. So why that happened is open for the system to play it out. But the most important thing is those things do happen. You got bad cops. You got cops that can't handle themselves. You also got cops that shoot too quickly and shoot too much. I mean, that's not how it's supposed to work. And, you know, so that's why you have to take the best of the best, guys that aren't afraid, guys that will hold off on shooting their guns. Just you just can't do that all the time. I've been in thousands of situations, literally, where I had to have my gun out and had and hundreds of times when I could have legally pulled the trigger. But he didn't. And same with the other guys, because we weren't afraid. So we gave the criminals chances to drop the gun or to, you know, to stop or to not make threatening moves. So you need the right guys to handle this type of job. So just hiring people because they're black or because they're female is not going to rectify the age-old problem of use of force. It's never going to stop. Let's put it this way. It will never stop because you will always have violent people resisting. And now it's even worse because they know that they're going to get a pass that most cops don't want to engage anymore. So that's going to make criminals be more bold to run away, to engage cops more, and to actually think they're going to gain, you know, high paying off lawsuits because of it. This is a bad situation. These groups have painted us in. Black Lives Matter, Antifa, the ADL, all these SPLC, NAACP, all these people are enemies of America, black and white, because the blacks still got to live in those neighborhoods with those black thugs that police don't want to arrest anymore. So who's being affected by it? And in the end, if cops aren't going to stop these guys, it's up to the people to protect themselves. Is this the country we're going to live in, hoping some black thug doesn't pick you someday and you're going to have to do something about it? And that's why I said in my book, I said glorifying thugs. That's what they do. They glorify these thugs, and they're all lies. Most of them were criminals. Most of them, you know, put themselves in that position. And that's just the way it is. And you know, and this is where we are, and it's going to get uglier. And I'm going to tell you exactly where it's going to go when you ask me that question.
Well, Jim, let me say this. I think things have gotten worse since the civil rights movement rather than better. Back in the days of segregation in Memphis, you had all the black people living in black neighborhoods, upper class, middle class, and, you know, lower class. And the upper class blacks did not want their community to descend into criminal chaos, and they were big supporters of the police. Now you don't have that in black neighborhoods. You just have the poor, the lower class for the most part, in the so-called ghettos. And, you know, this isn't 1950s America where, you know, you watch Highway Patrol and Broderick Crawford is Dan Matthews and he's, you know, it's all white in California and the bad guys wear coats and ties to work. You know, it's a totally different world.
Yeah. Well, the rich blacks now live in the rich white neighborhood. So they exactly. want police to patrol their neighborhood. So, but the thing is like I said, we know who's behind this. I mean, this is not to protect the innocent black male. These guys that are engaging these police are criminals. They're the ones terrorizing black neighborhoods. They're terrorizing white neighborhoods. They're criminals. So if you glorify criminals, we're going to have a world that's unlivable. It's the perfect way to destroy the country. All those organizations I mentioned should be investigated. They should be held accountable for all the violence they created by unleashing the criminal black man on the United States. Sorry. And that's the truth, because they commit all the crime. And, you know, I'm not saying white trash is any better, but at least when you're dealing with white trash, there's no racial element in it. And
I'll say it for you, Jim.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
I see what Jim's point is. You can do policing against white trash and not have to worry about losing your job for doing your job.
Or going to jail for the rest of your life.
But to be honest with you, and this is controversial, I wish we did have segregation again. You know, and I don't care. I have freedom of speech because everybody was safer during that time. Look at South Africa. since the end of apartheid, South Africa was the safest country in Africa during apartheid. After apartheid ended, it became the most dangerous country because they unleashed the criminal element. And that's it. And everybody's upset. Even the blacks are upset because they're being murdered at higher rates.
So Jim, I have a theory on that. Critical race theory. We had this situation of a couple of months ago where this guy named Ezekiel Kelly went out on his killing spree trying to kill white people, and he killed a bunch of them.
You're not talking about the Cowboys running back, are you?
No. But what happened, though, I put that on the teaching critical race theory to black kids. You know, when white kids get it, it's to cause cultural pessimism in them. That's a cultural Marxist term. But when blacks, they want to get blacks enraged against white people, and they want them to turn their criminal activity on the whites.
Well, I'll tell you what, we got to take one more break. We'll be back with Jim Lancia. You could say what you want to about segregation on this program. When I was 26 years old, I was on national television advocating for it. And I still do.
It's normal and natural.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be right back.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject from the Spanish Civil War to the funding behind the transgender movement. Antelope Hill publishes books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo and brings real culture to the reading public at an affordable price. If you count yourself as a political dissident, you owe it to yourself to check out the Antelope Hill catalog with exclusive offerings like Solzhenitsyn and the Right, the Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more. There's something there for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out the catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com. That's antelopehillpublishing.com. I'm James Edwards, and I want you to go to antelopehillpublishing.com.
In Message 1, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44, gave the left evil, spiritual power the more they use the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power, Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1, that behavior of capitalists was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2, Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present day end-time capitalists is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21.
You know, it does warm the heart to know that there was at least a time in this country where we had cops, manly cops like Jim Lancia, out there protecting and serving. I mean, imagine that, Keith Alec. That you had a guy, you had cops that were in out there.
I remember my father telling me, if you ever get stopped by the police, smile every chance you get. You know, he didn't have any part about running away from the police or trying to fight a policeman.
Yeah, if you're running, this is the point in the last segment. If you're running away from the cops, something's up. Either you got a record or you're under the influence or something's going on there. That doesn't mean you deserve to be beaten to death, but something's going on. And let's get to the how policing has been politicized, Jim, because what you have here now in cities like Memphis and Atlanta and Baltimore and D.C. and Chicago, you're having the push now. You have diversity and affirmative action hires. It doesn't matter whether they're the most qualified applicant at the police academy. You have to fill a quota. The cities are majority black because you have to have majority black cops. And then you've got whites, whatever whites may still be on the force in majority black cities after, and not just Derek Chauvin. There's been so many examples of white cops having to get physical with violent black suspects, and they either go to prison or lose their job. If I'm a white
cop,
if I'm a white cop in a majority black city, I'm sitting on my hand. I'm just running out the clock. I'm trying to avoid enforcement. I'm not doing my job because I know if I have to, it could cost me the rest of my life. So you got all of that in play. And with that in play, Jim, this was the question you've been waiting to be asked. Where is it going?
Okay, just like you said, the cops are going to sit on their hands. They don't want to go to jail. Sometimes I can't blame them, but then you realize what's going to happen. There's going to be nothing but chaos. And then the public, the same public screaming
enforcement,
you know, for these blacks that are being attacked by cops for justice and it's all racist, they're going to be the same ones screaming, oh my God, what are we going to do now? Well, here's the thing. And I've said this on your show before, and this is on paper, signed in by Loretta Lynch and Obama back when he was destroying the U.S. It's called Strong Cities Network, and there are some cities in Tennessee on it. And they keep adding cities. It's the U.N. It's you can go on the U.N. site, look up Strong Cities. They also call it Strong Cities Network. And there's cities in America and other places in the world where if chaos ensues, just like Black Lives Matter can create, then the UN would be legally able to be called in by authorities to police our streets. That is a fact. It is not a conspiracy. It's not a theory. It's on paper. And if you can bet that if it is on paper, they intend to use it someday. And with police,
you have these George Soros DAs.
That is crazy. That is crazy, Keith, that you use that term. Jim, you mentioned it in the exact same terminology earlier. Keith was mentioning the George Soros DAs.
Right. That's another way to destroy us. So you have a releasing of criminals. Look what they just recently did, the prison reform. Remember, three strikes, you're out? Three felonies and you were in prison for life. Now you got guys on the streets committing murders who have 40 felonies. They can't keep them in prison. But
not
yet
only
they got
that, we have a DA in Memphis who is trying to get the age of majority increased from 18 to 25. Can you imagine that? So they can treat them all like juveniles.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
that's true.
Everything that's happening, all the crime that's happening, the system is just adjusting to the high crime and making it easier for them rather than clamping down on it. And that would be better for blacks, too, because they wouldn't get the incentive to be criminals. So
let me ask you this. Well, Jim, I got to say, Jim, I don't want to interrupt you. You're getting me animated. We got Jim and I told Jim, I was on the phone with Jim 30 minutes earlier this afternoon preparing for this.
He was revved up.
I was pacing the floor. I told Jim, I said, Jim, you got me pacing the floor like a caged lion. But Jim, if I'm a black thug in Bridgeport, Connecticut in 1980, and I see you coming, it's yes, sir, officer, sir. But if I'm a black thug now, if I'm a banger and I see a white cop coming, I think it's a joke. I think this man can't do anything to me because if he does, he's dead or he's going to jail forever. I could do whatever I want.
He sees dollar signs where his eyes are.
Well, there is a difference. Yes, back when I was a cop, we were respected. There's no doubt about that. They hated us. They wanted to kill us, but we were respected. And yes, we had to tangle with the thugs, but we win. We won, and we did what we had to do to make the arrest, and they went to jail. We had a system that would punish criminals for their crimes. Okay, but today, they have no respect for cops. Number one, they know what they could get away with. They know the political climate. They also know that the cops that are there aren't intimidating like we were. If you look at the cover of my book, that was a cop you didn't mess with. But the thing is they don't want that anymore. They don't want that. They just want the color, the gender, and whatever to fill in.
Yeah,
the
flabby.
Clothes.
It's just like the Army. If the Army now, they can't even do jumping jacks without passing out.
Look, if you're a black criminal and you see some woman or some out-of-shape guy,
yeah,
you say, I can outrun that guy. Yeah, I can beat that person up.
That's absolutely right. And, Jim, you were talking about how women, you know, would react in a high-stress situation. I'm looking at Jim right here. prototypical cop. We got the cover of his book, by the way, at my Twitter handle, at James Edwards TPC. You can get it on Amazon, Downtown White Police. But, yeah, you got this stuff now, this female cop having, you know, sex with everybody in the department. I mean, just all this stuff.
Yeah.
If I'm a you know, violent felon, felonious, you know, criminal, and I see, you know, the Pillsbury Doughboy or some
Wee Herman,
some yeah. woman coming after me, I mean, I laugh.
Yeah, yeah, it's
I would
the
laugh
law of the
as
jungle.
I am.
It's the law of the jungle. There's two things. A cop who's not capable of handling the job will, first of all, be looked at the criminal as an easy prey as well. They can get away, or they can take them. The cops themselves, if they're afraid, they're more likely to use their weapons in lethal force because they're afraid. You see, so that creates more problems. And all these organizations run by these dual citizens, these people are the ones who have ingrained it in everybody's minds that there's something wrong going on. The real wrong is that there's something wrong in the black community. It needs to be addressed. And it's not about cops, black or white, using force on them. It's the ingrained way that they're acting and what they
well,
know.
They're emboldened. Jim, they're emboldened.
They're very emboldened.
Now.
And that's the worst thing, to embolden criminals. And like I said, you're letting them out of prison because they're black. There's judges that won't even charge them with certain things. You got
but they'll charge you. For example, if some guy breaks into your house, I've had this conversation with a policeman before, where you know, they break into your house, you pull your gun and shoot him, you're liable to catch a second degree murder charge.
Final word to Jim Lancia. Oh, go ahead, Jim. Go ahead. I got a final question for you. Go ahead.
I was going to say, that's what they want. They want to go after self-defense as well, because they know that's the last resort.
Well, they did. They did. You remember the lawyer up in the St. Louis area when Black Lives Matter? All he did, he and his wife stood out on their porch and brandished some firearms and said, you better not come up here.
They weren't.
And they had a lot of legal trouble.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And that's the thing. Even if you win, you still got to go through the legal system. So all this is made to make chaos so they can bring in their new world order. And that's not going away. The new world order was mentioned by every president since, I think, George Sr., Republican and Democrat. So it's not going away. They want that control. And they're going to get it. And the UN is going to be their police force. And
we
disgusting.
Have treasonous elites ruling us now.
We do.
No doubt about
and
it.
That's who's well, running our country. Just a few treasonous elites. And they can control 350 million Americans. And that's how it is. Both Republican and Democrat.
We're getting
down
somewhere.
To the nitty-gritty.
Yeah, I tell you what, we're getting down to it right now with Jim Lancia. Downtown White Police is the book, Amazon.com. Buy it if you don't have it already. Jim, I was thinking with regards to George Floyd, you know, if they can fake the news, if they can fake what we all saw happen there, you had a felonious guy, lifelong criminal, died of a drug overdose while he was being restrained. This cop's going to jail forever. But if they can take what we see with our own eyes in real time in the age of social media and videos and everything else and paint an entirely different narrative that a lot of people believe, think of what they can do to history. Think of what they can do.
Exactly.
Imagine what they're doing to history. So final word to you, Jim. Keith, you and I got the full third hour. We can revisit this. But final word with you to you on all of this that we've been talking about tonight.
Well, like you said, the media, if they could paint any picture they want, and for the most part, people believe it, they could create any narrative they want. And that's exactly what they've been doing. People are waking up to it. But you need more shows like yours who tell the truth, the brutal truth. And to be honest with you, the truth is the truth. And if you can't handle it, then you want to live a lie. But where we're going, I'm not saying it's going to happen today or tomorrow, but that's what they ultimately want. And they will keep digging and digging and creating scenarios where they can get that strong cities network in. And then America's sovereignty is gone. We don't even protect our own borders, and we're fighting in Ukraine? Billions and billions of dollars, and our country's falling apart? How is this even happening? You see? Because we are, it's treason by both parties right now. I'm sorry, even the Republicans, they allowed this to happen. You've got to
well,
fight.
George Wallace was right when he said the difference between the Democrats and the Republicans is the difference between Tweedledum and Tweedledee.
Well, we got it right here.
Exactly.
Right? Jim
exactly.
just reminded
shut
me of a great movie
down.
Quote.
They should never pass those bills that allow all this money to go to the Ukraine. It's all bull.
Ah, there we go.
See, look at Donald Trump. He lets a rapper out of jail and some.
Jim was talking about this earlier
but
today.
But on the other hand, you know, what about all those people that are languishing
exactly.
without habeas corpus because of
January
6th?
Right. He doesn't care about those people. And that's not America where you could hold somebody for years and not give them a trial and let criminals out on the streets who committed violent crimes. You see? And you see who's running this country, then you realize this cannot be sustained. They like to talk about sustainability. Well, this is going to affect every American. And you cannot have a system that works to release criminals, violent criminals on the street, and put all U.S. citizens in fear. And that's it. It's just, there's no other way to put it.
Jim, we love you, brother.
You're
I tell you
guy.
What, if every police officer was Jim Lancia's clone, you'd have a lot less crime, you'd have a lot less worry, you'd be a lot more safe, a lot more protective. Protective political correctness be damned. Downtown White Police, Amazon.com, search it. Jim, we can't wait to talk to you again. Thanks for coming on tonight. Called him a couple
He's
of hours
He's
a
real life Dirty Harry.
He is. And he looks like it, too. Look at the cover of his book. Love you, Jim. Talk to you later, buddy.
Thank you. All right, guys. Night. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Third hour up next. Third hour. Here we come.